proceed on to Children's Church at this time. And if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Luke chapter 6. And while you're turning there, I know some of you are aware, I posted it on Facebook last night. The pastor who was my pastor when I first went into the ministry, the first church I served as a youth pastor, he went home to be with Jesus yesterday. And he was 98 years old. He was just recently still teaching until his health took a turn for the worst. I have so many fond memories of him, and just the confidence that he had in me that I just couldn't see in myself. And just so appreciate him. His name is Curtis Oakley. And so I ask you just to pray for the Oakley family today. His funeral is going to be on Wednesday. And so just remember them. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. We're going to pick up reading in verse 46. And we'll read down to the end of the chapter, which is verse 49. So if you'll stand with me, we'll read together. I've entitled this message today, Building a Rock Solid Faith. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Jesus says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep, laid the foundation on the rock, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we're just thankful. Just thankful people. Thankful that, Lord, we have your word before us that we can read, that we can be taught, that we can learn, that we can grow, that we can share. Lord, we pray this morning, your blessed Holy Spirit, Lord, who is the teacher, may he teach us today. May our hearts again, Lord, just be focused on you today. Help us to put aside all those competing thoughts, all those things that are even on our minds right now. Help us just to disengage from that and engage you in your word. Speak to us today, O Lord, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we live in a culture that's obsessed with success. And people are looking in every possible corner to try to find a way to get themselves to success. If you go in a bookstore like Barnes & Noble's, there are shelves upon shelves and shelves of shelves with books on how to be a success, you know, at this or that. And then sometimes people will go out and they will hire a financial advisor so that they can be successful in business or just be wealthy so that when they retire, they know that they're fixed throughout those years and they have a good, hefty portfolio. Then others, the big things today seems to be life coaches. You know, there's health coaches, life coaches, and people will hire a life coach so that they can become successful in life and, you know, hopefully be able to find, you know, meaning in their pursuits. And there's nothing wrong, by the way, nothing wrong with life coaches and financial advisors and all those things that we may need from time to time. They have their place and purpose. But we're talking today about something that's just infinitely, infinitely more important than finding meaning in your pursuits or obtaining a big, healthy portfolio or anything like that. It's just, it's light years beyond that. Because we're talking about faith, and we're talking about things that pertain to eternity, and it makes these verses they're very heavy. You know, it's been said many times, and I guess I need to stop and say, just because something is said many times doesn't make it true, just because it's repeated and repeated and repeated. But this is true, that the decisions we make today, the direction that we take today, will determine where we end up if we keep following that same direction. So our direction determines our destination. And that axiom is actually a proverb. It's not a proverb of Confucius. This is a proverb that comes from the book of Proverbs in the book we call the Bible. It's one that we've, I don't know how many times, it seems like every time I turn around, I'm quoting these verses to you. And so when I start, you might be going, yeah, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, give it a break, you know. But here it is again. I mean, it just seems to, it keeps cropping up in my own life and in these messages, because I think it really fits. What did Solomon say? Trust in the Lord. He said, with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understandings. You know, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And we've talked about the principle of the path. But my point is this, in the message this morning, that if you and I are going to build a rock-solid faith, I mean, the one that really stands the test of time, the test of Scripture, the test of the storms that come and the streams that beat vehemently against your faith, then I think it has to begin right here with the words of Jesus. Because what Jesus says matters. Amen? What Jesus says matters. Now, I know we're living in a time when people, you know, they'll put everything else on equal plane with what Jesus says or above what Jesus says. But we know what Jesus says matters. And when Jesus speaks, we need to give Jesus our full attention and just pray for understanding. Well, here's Luke, and he's writing his account of what Jesus says in this time. And Luke, if we've noticed anything about him, we'll see this as we continue on in the Gospel of Luke, according to Luke, is that Luke likes to put things in pairs. He couples things together in his teaching. And so here he presents pairs, and he presents three sets of twos. He says there's two faiths, two foundations, and two futures. Some of you, I know, try to guess my outline. And sometimes you'll say, I guessed your outline today, even before you got it. And I will say, all right, awesome. What do you want, a prize? I don't know. Maybe I'll give a sucker out for the people who figure out my outline. But that's what he's talking about. Two faiths, two foundations, and two futures that we need to consider if we're going to have, and if we possess, even today, if you and I possess, a rock-solid faith. So first, let's think about the two kinds of faith. What did Jesus say? He said, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Which I say. When Jesus says, Lord, Lord, he's talking about somebody who has professed a very intense allegiance to Jesus. I mean, they're saying, Lord, Lord. He said, why would a person do that? Why do you do that, but then do not do the things which I say? You see, the first kind of faith that Jesus is talking about is a counterfeit faith. It's counterfeit. That is, this faith is not real. This is a profession without practice. You call me Lord, Lord, you swear allegiance to me, but then you do not do the things which I say. What did he say? Well, all we have to do is go back about 20 verses in Luke chapter 6. And here are some of the things that Jesus has told them to do that apparently some of them have not been doing. What are they? Well, in verse 27, he said, love your enemies. He goes on, he says, pray for those who spitefully use you. Refuse to retaliate people who treat you unkindly. Don't be self-righteous, judgmental people. He's already taught them a lot of stuff. And he says, but why are you calling me Lord, Lord, but you're not doing the things that I say? See, there's people who have a counterfeit faith. Sometimes, you know, it's like you go to youth camp, you have a bonfire, write your sins on the piece of paper, throw them in the bonfire, and then kids are going, love you, Jesus, oh Lord. And then they leave the camp and leave the bonfire, and it's life back to usual. You know, nothing really happened. What was it? Emotional, but counterfeit. Because there was no change. I'm not saying that everybody that's done that, you know, don't come up afterwards. Pastor, I went to a bonfire. Okay. You know, okay, just listen. All right. There are people who say just, Lord, Lord, but it's all profession, but it's no practice. And profession without practice means that nothing really happened. And that's what Jesus is trying to teach you. See, some people, they'll come to church and they will listen to a message the way that you listen to a flight attendant. You know, go through all the safety features before you take off. Now, if you've flown very many times and you've heard that speech, what do you do when you get on the next plane and it starts? Yeah, put your headset on. You know, your guy already got your bookmark, you got your tablet, whatever. You know, you're out and you're just yada, yada, yada. I've heard it so many times. Sometimes people come to church like that. You know, the preacher, I've heard that message before. You know, build your house on the rock. You know, let's see, what's on Facebook right now? See, I just know that's true. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but then you don't do the things that I say? That just doesn't make any sense. That's like a man who builds his house on the sand without a foundation. There's a guy by the name of Robert. I really can't pronounce his last name. I would mispronounce it if I tried. It starts with a K, so I'm just going to call him Robert K. He was 81 years old, zero flying experience. But his friend, who was 52 years old, whose name was Wesley Sickle, asked Robert to go flying with him. So they did, and they were flying from Indianapolis, Indiana, to Muncie, Indiana. And while they were in the air, Wesley had a heart attack and died at the controls. 81-year-old Robert, zero flying experience. And now he's at the controls, and he's scared. And so he gets on the radio, and he starts calling out for help. And there are two planes in the area, two other small Cessnas in the area with experienced pilots who come alongside, and they begin to talk Robert through speed, elevation, all these things that he needs to know. Most important, how he's going to land the plane. And so they're talking him through this. They get to the closest airport, emergency personnel, you know, they're all out on the tarmac. They're ready just for a disaster. They go around the airport three times, and these guys are talking to Robert how to do it. Eventually, he lands the plane, skids off the runway into a marsh, unhurt. And you know why he landed unhurt? It was because he took what he was listening to seriously. He listened to every word those pilots had to say like his life depended on it. And it does. It did. That's the way we should approach the Scriptures. When we are reading the Scriptures, when we are hearing the Scriptures taught, we should listen to it like our life depends on it. So that one day, we don't get to heaven. And Jesus says, who are you? You never listened to a thing I said. You listen like you do when you get on an airplane. You ignored my teaching. You said, Lord, Lord, but then you didn't do the things that I say. A.T. Robertson The Greek professor said this. He said, hearing sermons is a dangerous business. He said, if one does not put them into practice. And it is. It's dangerous business because it makes me accountable. That is, I can't say, and just for every single one of us here, the day when we stand before the Lord, and the Lord say, remember the day you heard that message about a rock-solid faith? The words that my son said when he said, you know, there's many who say, Lord, Lord, but don't do the things that I say. Do you remember? You remember the day that you heard that? See, it makes us accountable. And so he's talking about a counterfeit faith. That is an intellectual knowledge of Jesus that's just not enough, even if you know all the Christian vocabulary that there is. All right? But then there's a real Christian faith. That is a true Christian faith. It is a profession plus practice. It's like the man who dug deep and laid a foundation and built his house on the rock. That's a true Christian profession. You know, when we talk about people coming forward and they're making a profession of faith, I always think, well, it is to be seen. That is, when a person comes forward and they say, Jesus has changed my life, I just say, well, it is to be seen. We hope so and trust so. But it will be borne out. Jesus has already talked about this back in verse 43 about the good tree. He said, for a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. This is the true Christian faith, profession plus practice. It's evidence through a life that's heard through the lips of a person, but then it's also seen through the life of that person. They have married their profession with their practice. This is what James talks about in James 1 when he says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. So here's our question. Is your faith counterfeit? Or is it real? Is it real? See, we have to answer the question. You need to answer the question because what Jesus says matters. Well, there's two kinds of faith, a counterfeit faith or a true Christian faith. And then he says there's two kinds of foundations. Again, he picks up in verse 48 and he says, he's like a man building a house, dug deep, laid the foundation on the rock. And the floods came and the streams beat vehemently, aggressively against it, and it didn't fall. So this is the sensible man's house. He dug deep down, laid that solid foundation on the rock. And you notice what Luke does? Now he presents two men, two houses, two foundations. Again, he likes twos. Two men. You look at these guys and you look at these houses they build. And the houses they build, they look the same. They look the same. The very same. But something is fundamentally different in the way they built the house. The sensible man, I started to say the smart man and the stupid man when I was working on the message. I thought that just doesn't sound very... That doesn't sound right. Sensible. We'll go with sensible. The sensible man followed the blueprint that was given by the architect, capital A. And he dug deep. And he laid the foundation so that he could build that house on the rock. You remember Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Don't lean on your own understanding of things. And think that the foundation you're laying on is okay. Or... well, you know, I don't have to do it that way. It's like I may have shared this the other week. I was sharing a gospel with a guy just maybe a month ago. And I started quoting John 14:6. You know, I said that the Bible says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. And this is what he did. Rolled his eyes. And I immediately know he knows a better way or something that's okay. And usually when you talk to people like that, you know, and you ask them about their spiritual life, then sometimes they'll say, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm okay. I love the new AT&T commercial. And there's several of them, but this one, this guy goes into the brake shop and he walks up to a mechanic named Phil. And he says, "Phil, you guys do brakes around here?" Or he said, "Are you good at brakes?" And he says, "We're okay." He said, "Just okay?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "We have a slogan around here. You know, if the brakes don't stop you, something will." And the customer looks at him and he says, "You know that's not a real saying." He says, "Yeah, it is. I wrote it." See, there's some people who think they're just okay. Or, "I don't have to go the Jesus way. It's okay if I do something else, because at the end, God's going to understand anyway. You know, and God's going to say, 'Well, you tried. I mean, my goodness. And you tried really hard. You're okay. You're okay.'" And what Jesus is teaching us in this is, no, this is not okay. See, the sensible man wasn't satisfied with just okay. He wanted to build on a deep, sure, and solid foundation. But then there's the senseless man. The senseless man. What did he do? He just built the house, says, on the earth without a foundation. Now, if we saw somebody doing that, if these builders we have in the church, ask them if they've ever built a house without a foundation and said, you know, "That foundation, it's not that big of a deal. You know, really don't need that." When we lived in Alaska, there was a loop off the back of Fairbanks called Farmer's Loop Road, if you've ever been there in Fairbanks. And back in the 70s, during the influx of people with the installation of the pipeline, of course, Fairbanks blew up as far as population-wise, and they didn't have enough housing. And so builders were coming up from the lower 48, and they were building houses as fast as they could. The only thing they didn't understand was that off the back of Farmer's Loop, there was a lot of permafrost. And so they built these houses, and they laid some foundations, but not adequate foundations, and in the wrong places. And you could drive around Farmer's Loop and you could see houses that were built on the permafrost that should never have been built there, and they were split in two because the foundation gave way and made them split levels. The senseless man, he disregards what Jesus has said. He's all profession. He's no practice. Again, the houses look the same for these guys from the outside. Even their lives. I mean, they were both vinyl-sided houses. You know, they both had chimneys. They had azaleas out front. You know, they looked the same. And at the beginning, both of them looked perfectly acceptable and well done, till judgment came. And when judgment day came, when the storm came and beat vehemently against that house, the senseless man's house crumbled to the ground. See, both of them went to the same church, sang the same songs, went to the same restaurant after the service was over. They seemed the same. But the senseless man had equated religion with righteousness. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but do not do the things which I say?" There's two kinds of faith. There's two kinds of foundations. And then lastly, there's two kinds of futures. He said, "But he who heard and did nothing..." He said, he's like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation. The stream came, beat vehemently against it. Immediately it fell. And notice what he says, "The ruin of that house was great." One house is indestructible because it was laid on a deep, solid, sure foundation. This is obviously faith in Christ. Trust in Christ, his finished work on the cross. This man has confidence in his future. Let the judgment come. Let the winds come. Let the storm blow, because his faith is attached to God, attached to Christ, his work. You know, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. First Peter said it like this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Reserved for you. For who? Who have been kept by the power of God through faith, who have built on the rock. That house is indestructible. The other one is indefensible. He said that house, when the judgment came, when the storm came, it fell, he said, and the ruin of that house, he says, was great. The ruin was great. That is, in the day of judgment, when this person stands before God, they will be unable to defend their position for choosing the wrong way to build. They can't say, well, I tried to keep those commandments you gave. They were awful hard, but I kept most of them. No, they won't be able to defend their position. He said the ruin of that house will be great. Jesus warned about this. He was warning them all along, even as he warns people today, about this very thing. Matthew 7, he said this: Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many that go in by it. There's two kinds of faith. There's two kinds of foundations. There's two kinds of futures. I quoted this some time back. I guess last year I may have quoted it since then. It's been one of those sayings that I've repeated often, not originally with me. A friend of mine said it the first time I heard it, who now he is in glory as well. But he will often say this: there's only two choices on life's shelf. You can live for God, or you can live for self. There's two kinds of faith, two choices. You can live for God, or you can live for self. But the decision you make today will affect your tomorrow. So you want to make sure that when you get to the end, that your last neighbors are angels. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that you give us clear direction, Lord, about our faith. Lord, I pray that there's no one here today who has faith without practice. Lord, if they are, I pray that you would help them to turn to you and embrace you fully today. Not just to feel like they're okay, but to make sure today that they're right, that they're right with you. Lord, we thank you that where there seemed to be no way, you made a way through sending your Son to die on a cross for our sins. Lord, and to be raised again on the third day. And that through faith in him and what he did on the cross for us, that we can be saved. Lord, if there's anyone here today who needs to do that, who needs to take that step of faith, help them today, Lord, to call upon you that they might be saved. And Father, we pray for all of us who are saved, who know you, Lord, that you would help us to be faithful proclaimers, faithful listeners. Lord, help us never to listen just superficially to things or tune you out when you're trying to get our attention and tell us something. Lord, whatever else we may need to do today, just help us to do it right now. In Jesus' name, amen.